go, baby!
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Fires into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown Sammy Watkins.
It's showtime. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate. Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
We're 2 months away from training camp. Who's going to be the Bills' starting quarterback on opening day? Let's take an informal poll on the show tonight. Ring us up and let us know who you think it'll be. Tyrod Taylor is in the mix, and he's in the studio with us tonight at 7:30. Bucky Brooks from NFL.com says the Bills have the second most talented roster in the NFL. We'll talk with him about that at 10 after 8. And Bills president Russ Brandon in studio with us at 8:30 to talk about training camp, going back to Fisher for the 16th consecutive year.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It's as good a night as any to talk about quarterbacks, isn't it? We always seem to wind up there anyway. Good evening. Welcome. Welcome to your weekend. Welcome to the Friday night edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are coming to you live from beautiful, summery Orchard Park, New York tonight. And we're here until 9 o'clock. We'd like to have you join us, too. The phone line's open, as they always are. 803-0550 is the number. From outside Buffalo, and I know you're listening outside Buffalo, a lot of you, it's a toll-free call. Those of you in Rochester and other points outside the 716, you can ring us up toll-free at 1-888-552-550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We always wind up on the quarterback spot these days, and tonight's a pretty good night to talk about it because the quarterback picture changed slightly today for the Bills with one roster move, and we've had a week of OTAs, and we are just about 2 months away from the start of training camp. The Bills' first training camp practice is July 31st, so what are we looking at here? We are May 28th today, 29th, so it's probably 2 months from today, you'd guess, the Bills will be starting to stagger into St. John Fisher College, reporting to camp, and be on the field 2 months away. So let's talk about quarterbacks. Let's take the temperature of Bills fans, where they are in the quarterbacks. Now, I don't want to know who you want to win the do I want to know what or do I should?
I think it goes hand in hand.
Should? All right, here's what. I don't want to know who you predict will be the Bills' starting quarterback. And we all have feelings about that. I guess what I want to know from our listeners tonight is who do you think the Bills' starting quarterback should be? Who's going to be the starting quarterback? Not so much who you're looking for, not so much what would be good for you, but who's going to win the quarterback battle? EJ Manuel, Matt Cassel, Tyrod Taylor. Anyone want to dare to throw in Matt Sims, the new guy in the picture now? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. Who's going to win the Bills quarterback battle? Who's going to be the Bills starting quarterback on Sunday, September 13th against the Indianapolis Colts? We're asking you to predict the future. We're not asking you what you hope happens. We're not asking you what you'd like to see happen, but what do you think will happen? 803-0550, the number. I'll tell you, I think it's a tough one because we've only had the 1 week of OTAs. We have only 1 week to go on in OTAs, and it's not all about the OTAs. But I who's going to win the starting quarterback job for the Bills? I think it's going to be EJ Manuel. I think he's looked okay in this first week of OTAs, and I've been out there every day watching. I think he's got some work to do, and I think he's getting it. But I think it's best for the franchise if EJ Manuel is the starter on opening day because they invested that first-round draft pick in him just 2 years ago because he is young. He is smart. He is a good teammate. He is a hard worker. And his teammates, Cassel and Taylor, also are that. But Cassel, obviously, is not a long-term solution just because he's been around a lot longer. And Tyrod Taylor, I think, is the great unknown. We're going to talk with Tyrod in studio at the bottom of this hour. But if you ask me who's going to be the starting quarterback, I think for the third consecutive year, it's going to be EJ Manuel starting on opening day. And we'll see how he does. 14 starts in the books, a renewed commitment this offseason to work on mechanics. I think, and EJ has said this, we'll hear from him tonight, he knows that this is, make or break time for his career. This is fish or cut bait time for his career. And I think all of that combined will make him the starting quarterback on opening day. But give us your thoughts. You may feel differently. Who is it going to be? Not who do you think it should be, not who do you want it to be, but who will it be? Who will be the starting quarterback for the Bills on opening day? Who's going to win the quarterback battle, which is on right now? 803-0550, the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Let's talk about the quarterback situation. The Bills, with the three-man competition, the three names we talked about, Manuel, Taylor, and Castle. There's a fourth name at the quarterback spot now, and there's one less name. Matt Sims. The Bills were awarded Matt Sims, a quarterback, after putting in a waiver claim for Matt Sims. He came into the league 2 years ago, 2013, an undrafted free agent with the Jets out of University of Tennessee, 6'3", 210-pounder. He has played a couple of games for the Jets. Released by the Jets, he played under Rex Ryan, obviously. He played against the Bills 2 years ago right here at Ralph Wilson Stadium when he finished off the Jets' 37-14 loss to the Buffalo Bills. And he played under Rex Ryan. Matt Sims, 26 years old, so he spent the last two-plus years with the Jets. Four career appearances, 19 of 39, 195 pounds, with one touchdown and one interception. He's got good size, 6'3", 210 pounds. He's got the four games in the league so far, and he's not really experienced, but he's got a little bit more experience than Jeff Toole had. Jeff Toole was released to make room. Jeff Toole spent the last two seasons with the Bills. Last year, all of it on the practice squad. Of course, Jeff Toole got in some games, a couple of games in 2013, including the start against Kansas City, that tough game against Kansas City, the loss here at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So Jeff Toole released. Matt Sims is in. The quarterback numbers remain at four with a new face in the picture. What does that mean to the overall starting quarterback spot? Well, probably not much. We'll see how it plays out, but it probably doesn't mean a whole lot. It would be hard to imagine Matt Sims competing for the quarterback job. Matt Castle talked the other day about the quarterback competition, and of course, Rex Ryan sat in our show and said he's really going to wait a couple of weeks into training camp to pick a starter. Matt Castle said, as far as he's concerned, he's competing for the job right now.
I think you got to come out and compete every single day. You got to prove to the coaches and to the players that you are going to be accountable, that you know the offense, that you can be reliable. And then once you get to training camp, obviously you get the real pads on, it becomes real football, and then you've got to go out there and perform and show that you can do what you've done on the field here in practice and take it to a game in these preseason games and get ready for season.
What if the offensive coaches kind of said is realistic for you guys on offense to get accomplished here in these 10 OTAs? I mean, it's still not real football yet, mm-hmm. but what's been the feedback from them? What's been their mantra in terms of what you guys want to get done?
Well, I think we first and foremost want to install that offense and get everybody comfortable with the multiple formations, everything that we're doing, different personnel groups, and also comfortable with each other, especially the quarterback-receiver relationships, the tight ends, understanding how we want to run certain route concepts, how we want to release, do all those things. This is all very pivotal for us this time of year to start to get a grasp of that.
That is Matt Castle talking about the quarterback competition. E.J. Manuel, thoughts about the quarterback competition as well. He's been working on accuracy and trying to get better, and he was asked how he handles that out on the practice field, trying to make sure that he is accurate with the football.
It's funny when you don't think about it that much. You know, it just kind of instinctually happens, I think. And I think what really helped is just the preparation before going into practice and, you know, knowing the plays and that I'm going to run and just being able to dissect it myself and having a better understanding of what I'm doing on the field versus whatever defense they throw at us. I think that's what really helps the accuracy.
EJ, Rex mentioned earlier that the QB competition doesn't really begin until training camp. To what extent do you agree with that or disagree?
I think right now you just want to put your best foot forward, you know, as a competitor, as an athlete, you know, you always want to go out and do your best. You know, you don't want to put anything bad on film. So, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I think as an athlete, you got to go out there and do your best every time.
AJ Manuel. So if you listen to Manuel and listen to Matt Castle, they feel like they're competing for the starting quarterback spot right now. And we're going to have Tyrod Taylor in studio with us at the bottom of the hour. Get his thoughts on that. Your thoughts on it, though. Who's going to be the Bills starting quarterback on opening day? Who's going to win the quarterback competition? Give us a call, 803-0550 from outside Buffalo. Toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. A couple of tweets on this. Scott Polichet tweets, Manuel has the best chance, more upside than Castle or Taylor. I'd agree with that. Just mostly because of his age, because of the fact that he is a first-round draft pick a couple of years removed. I think he does have the most upside, more than Castle or Taylor. James tweets in, if EJ isn't good enough to win the job, then I'm concerned. Okay. And other people disagree. Matt Williams tweets, Castle should bring the steadiest quarterback play. We are stacked to win now. We need to avoid any risks with unproven talent. Brian Parfit tweets, in best case for Bills is EJ, means improvement. Second is Taylor, potential is there. Worst is Matt Castle in terms of the best case scenario. Justin Westfall, I don't see how anyone can think Taylor does not have the most upside. Hope Taylor wins the job. Right now, probably Castle. People are kind of divided. We're trying to get a sense from Bills fans as to who you think will win the starting quarterback job. Not who you're looking for, not who you're rooting for, but who do you think will win it? Who is it going to be on September 13th? Justin Gravestock, hoping for EJ, drafted him for the future, and the future is now. Joe Malls, Tyrod Taylor, he's going to light up training camp in the preseason and be named starter after the second preseason game. Barry Hereford, Taylor will win it by season's end. You see, people are kind of all over the place with this. Who will win? Who will be the starting quarterback for the Bills? Who's it going to be? 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Start with the calls with Mark in Amherst. Hello, Mark. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think EJ's got, he put it to work, and he wants to see DeBerg to help him, and I think he's working on his mechanics, and I think he got a raw deal when Marone was here, so he's getting his fair chance now. So he knows he's got that chance, so he's going to take that chance and work.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I think he does have a chance now, and I like the fact that, you know, it never was supposed to work out 2 years ago that EJ was going to be the starter on opening day. And it wasn't really the plan they had in mind. You all remember this, right? And EJ had to, because of injury, EJ had to start that first game and came out of the lineup with a couple of injuries a couple of times during the course of the year. And then last year, he was yanked by Doug Marone and the coaching staff after four games with a 2-2 record. So I think EJ is going to be the guy again. As I said, for the third consecutive year, he will be the opening day starter. But I think people are all over the board on this. Here's a call from Dave in Williamsville. Dave, who do you think it'll be? Who's going to win the starting quarterback job for the Bills?
I think it's going to be Castle. I would love to see EJ as well, but I think Castle provides a guy that hopefully won't throw a whole lot of interceptions. I think his delivery is a lot quicker than EJ. Like I said, I'd love to see EJ, but I just think that mechanically speaking, he throws a real relaxed ball, and his delivery is really slow. I think, you know, I think Goodwin got hit by Weddle last year, and I think 2 years ago against the Patriots, I think he got his arm broke because it was a real slow ball, and then it was a real slow ball to Watkins against Pittsburgh last year, and I think he broke his ribs. And I think it was a real slow – it was at Tampa, I think, a couple years ago when Revis picked off a ball, and I think Revis could have absolutely destroyed Robert Woods. If I don't see a lot of – we have to wait for the summer camp, you know, the camp and some of the preseason games. But if that delivery is as slow as it is and that ball is just a real relaxed line to throw, man, I don't want to see EJ at all.
Are you, when you say a slow ball, are you saying EJ lacks arm strength or his delivery is slow?
I don't know. It's not really arm strength. It just seems like the ball kind of floats. Not a lot. It just seems like it floats a little bit. Just a little bit so a defensive back can come and get it or something. It just seems like it's not out, like Orton threw a harder ball than Manuel last year. I know Manuel's got a stronger arm. It's kind of hard to explain. It just seemed like when Orton dropped back and he threw it, let's say it was a pattern of going across the middle or something like that, the ball flew. I mean, it went hard. With Manuel, it just seems to kind of float or something. I don't know how to describe it. The ball is slower. It's like a slower. You know, Orton threw a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. Manuel throws an 88-mile-an-hour fastball.
All right. Interesting, Dave. I have not noticed that. I will – maybe I'm saying the same thing you are, Dave, when I say this. There's no question Kyle Orton was much more decisive in his throws than EJ and would make quicker decisions and decide, here's where I'm going with the ball, and boom, the ball would be there. I think EJ's got physical tools for this job. I think he's got a strong arm. I think accuracy is going to be improved, and he continues to work on fundamentals. I've seen him this week in the three OTAs throw some pretty nice passes out there at the OTA workouts. I've seen, you know, none of the quarterbacks I think have been outstanding. Taylor's getting a full shot with the ones over the, you know, two of the 3 days at this OTA. So, I mean, Matt Castle threw a deep pass to Deontay Thompson today that was picked off. So No, I'm sorry. Deontay Thompson made the catch. Here's the point. It was not a good throw. That's what stuck in my mind. It was sort of a duck hanging in the air, and Deontay Thompson, outside receiver, sort of made a great play in the ball, caught it between a couple of defenders. But it wasn't a great throw from Matt Cassel. The difference, I thought, between Orton and EJ last year was decisiveness with the football. And Orton committed to a throw, and he made the throw. And maybe that's what you're trying to identify. Maybe. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Maybe that's what you've noticed when you talk about EJ with a slow ball. I think EJ's got adequate, if not pretty good arm strength, and I think he's demonstrated that over the 14 starts that he's had so far. We're talking about the Bills' quarterback position. Who do you think is going to win the job? Who is it going to be on opening day? 803-0550, the number. Toll-free. Outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Graham Parsons tweets in, EJ, three starts and done. Bills' lack of progress under center cost them a playoff spot 7-9. AFC defensive just too tough. So Graham has taken our question about the quarterback position and turned it into the entire season on a platter for us. 7-9 record, Jay. Graham Parsons. Not the Graham Parsons, but Graham Parsons.
I was going to say, geez, yeah. He's laid it out there. I don't know. If you want to ask my opinion, can you call on me first?
Yes. Can you want me to come back to you? Yeah. Are you ready yet? Or
go.
Jay Harris, your thoughts on
that? Producer Jay Harris. Get it right. Come on now.
Producer Jay Harris. Friday. Who is it going to be? Not who you want. Not who you're rooting for. Who is it going to be?
EJ. I think it's going to be EJ Manuel. I think surrounding him, he has proven coaching, and not just proven coaching, but a proven coaching a system that'll work, and I think that'll adhere to his skill sets.
Okay. Yeah, coaching, we haven't even talked about.
I think that plays a huge role in it. I think, I don't know what happened last year and the years past, but I don't want to say too many cooks, but there was just a lot. He was getting looked at from a lot of ends, be it from the off season to in season. There was a lot going on there, but I think the system that is put in place now will benefit him and in turn benefit the Bills offense. And EJ Manuel, there it is.
Okay. People say that, and in fact, there's a soundbite with EJ who was asked that question about too many cooks last year. I don't know. I never identified that as an issue last year. I really didn't. I thought Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, was giving EJ a lot of coaching. And I think this year, David Lee, as the quarterback's coach, is EJ's coach and seems to be the one guy who is spending his most time working with EJ and the other quarterbacks. But let's let EJ talk about it. Let me find the soundbite here. I don't know that too many cooks, too many people in EJ's ear was the problem, multiple voices. Here's the soundbite from EJ the other day, and he was asked two questions. The first one, where do you go if you have a question after a play? Where do you go to as far as the coaching staff for correction?
Right now, Coach Roman has been on the field with us. Like, we're split right now, so if we have a question, we ask him. But I think, the good thing about Coach Roman, he allows Coach Lee to be the coach. You know what I'm saying? He coaches the quarterbacks, and obviously Coach Roman's in the room with us, but he does a great job, letting his position coaches coach. So either guy, you can ask the question, they'll get the answer for you.
Is it better for a quarterback to have that one guy that, hey, I know, I just got to go to him, get things straightened out and go back on, instead of having maybe three or four voices telling you different things?
I don't know. I think as a quarterback, to some certain extent, you have to also be able to coach yourself too. You have to know the offense as well as the coaches. And, I think a quarterback is really a coach on the field. So, you shouldn't really have that many questions. The good thing is if you do have a question, they both can answer it for you.
Yeah, multiple voices. I don't know that there were three or four voices talking to EJ last year. I mean, there was Nathaniel Hackett, and then they hired Todd Downing as the quarterback's coach. I don't know that that was a problem last year with EJ. I really don't. To be honest, I think the head coach ran out of patience with EJ because the head coach, I think, felt a pressure to win immediately because of everything that was going around. He was not going to wait any longer. EJ came off a very tough game at Houston against the Texans, against a pretty good defense down there in Houston, and made a couple of critical errors in that game, the J.J. Watt interception most notably. And I think that he had exhausted the patience of the head coach, who I believe last year was battling for his own skin, battling for his own job, and did not want to wait any longer for EJ. So he went to a veteran. Will that play out this year? I hope not. But that being said, I hope that EJ fights for the job and wins the job. And I've repeated that over and over on the show. I hope he earns the starting quarterback job. And I think he is going to be the guy when it's all said and done on September 13th. Richie calling from South Florida. Richie, your thoughts on the quarterback situation? Who's going to be on opening day? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be EJ. I think they've invested enough with him, and I think the development stage, that third year, is going to be the pivotal year to see what he's got. I also think, you know, it's tough for me to say, but I think Rex Ryan and Roman, I think they like a scheme-oriented quarterback as well, somebody that can move and run. I think it's going to be very close between Tyrod and EJ. EJ will pull out with it. Castle's there for veteran experience. I love it. I think he's obviously the most polished of them both, but I think they're going to want a little bit of mobility in that backfield.
Okay, thank you. And they've said that. They've said that, Richie. You're right. And, you know, we're going to talk with Tyrod Taylor in a couple of moments here on the show. But Rex Ryan praises his athleticism, praises the dimension it provides with to the Buffalo offense. Rex Ryan talks about, as a defensive coach, how difficult it is to scheme and plan for a quarterback who can run and move around the way Tyrod Taylor can. We'll talk with Tyrod in a moment here on the show. To repeat the news of the day here at One Bills Drive, OTA practice outside on the grass field. Beautiful morning to practice with the Bills, nice and warm. Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, in attendance on the sideline. Canisius basketball coach Jim Barron in attendance, watching his former player Chris Manhertz, who's in here as a undrafted free agent, trying to make the team as a tight end. Team owners Terry and Kim Pagula and their dog Sydney watching from the sideline. It was a great practice today. Just kind of upbeat, a lot of good work, and the end of the first week of OTAs, with two more weeks of OTAs coming up, and then mandatory veteran mini camp, and then that's it, 5 weeks off, and then they come back for training camp. But the other news of the day this afternoon, the Bills put in a waiver claim for quarterback Matt Sims, who was cut yesterday by the Jets, and they were awarded Matt Sims. He is a three-year veteran, 26 years of age, played against the Bills a couple of years ago and mopped up in a Jets loss to the Buffalo Bills. He's played in four career games. To make room for Matt Sims, the Bills said goodbye to quarterback Jeff Toole, who's been around for a couple of years. Practice squad last year, 2013, played in a couple of games, including the start against Kansas City. Good guy, Matt Toole. I got the sense all along that Jeff Toole was a very, very good teammate. I think his teammates liked him and appreciated the work he did and what he put in to stick on this roster as much as he could the last few years. But the Bills are going to try to go with Matt Sims and see what he brings. The Bills brought in a veteran free agent linebacker on a free agent visit today. His name is Michael Buchanan. He's played with the Patriots, seventh-round pick of the Patriots a couple of years ago, 2013, out of the University of Illinois, released by the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, May 7th. He has played 18 career games with the Patriots, two sacks, three tackles, a native of Homewood, Illinois. He played his college career for the Fighting Illini, and Michael Buchanan brought in a free agent visit. As far as we know, not offered or awarded a contract yet for the Buffalo Bills. We'll keep an eye on that. Talking about quarterbacks tonight, and we will resume the discussion, get your thoughts on who's going to win the starting quarterback job for the Bills when they line up and play. Who's it going to be? We'll get back to your phone calls in just a few minutes here. The number to call, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. One of the names in that hat is Tyrod Taylor. A lot of support for Tyrod Taylor among many Bills fans. And we'll sit down and talk with him in studio when we return. We're just getting started here. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on this Friday night. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out,
bring them out. Bring them out. Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. And joining us in studio, almost the people's choice in the quarterback race for the Buffalo Bills, based on the calls we've had, quarterback Tyrod Taylor joining us. I got to tell you, almost every night we get a call or a tweet or somebody asking about you, pumping you up. Bills fans, there's a segment of Bills fans who are really following your progress here in OTAs and throughout this offseason. What do you make of that?
I don't really look into it too much. I appreciate them wanting to hear me, them wanting to see me. But I'm just focused right now, working, trying to get better each and every day.
It's been a couple of months since you signed as a free agent. I was thinking about, you know, what it is that people respond to. A lot of it, I think, has to do with your career at Virginia Tech. I mean, you were ACC Player of the Year, 44 career touchdown passes, 23 rushing touchdowns. All that production, obviously, you made a mark on football fans around the country, huh?
Yes, I mean, if you watch Virginia Tech football, you definitely know about me. Played behind a great guy in Baltimore, so really wasn't able to see the field as much. But I get an opportunity here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Tyrod Taylor in studio with us, Bills quarterback. They have said for months now, Rex Ryan and all the coaches have said it is a three-man competition. Does it appear to you this first week of OTAs that it's kind of playing out that way?
Yes. It just as a whole, all four guys are actually splitting reps, and we're just trying to push each other to get better. We're all competing, and we know. Excuse me. We know what the deal is as far as the competition. But our job is just to basically move the offense and command the offense. So we're all taking our part in doing so.
Coach Roman has brought in this, I guess, setup they did at San Francisco, where when you do teamwork, sometimes in 7-on-7, you've got two different lines of scrimmage, two different offense versus defense. What does that do for you, and how have you managed to use that to your advantage these first few days?
Actually, it was the same way in Baltimore for us. I don't know if it was a Coach Harbaugh thing,
okay,
but I'm pretty sure other teams do it as well. But it's just a way to get it as many reps as possible. This time of year, it's not enough time on the field with guys for the amount of players that you have, and it's a way to get everyone reps, and it's a way, especially with the competition going on, and just to see everybody, it's a good way to evaluate, because you miss out on those reps when it's just one group going. So
first day they had you working with the second group, I guess the threes, and then the second day of OTAs you were with the ones and twos. Does it matter to you? Are you conscious of who you're working with when you're out there?
No, it doesn't matter. We're all out there under a new offense, regardless of who it is. The receivers are sprinkling on both fields. running backs split time on both fields. So it really doesn't matter. As long as you're taking care of your job when you're under center, that's what you're being evaluated on.
I wonder, when you get to the meeting room this week during OTAs, do you look at practice video? Do you look at what you've done in practice the day before?
Yes, we watch it in the morning. We get a chance to watch it on our own afterwards. But in the morning we meet and we watch it as well.
There's twice as much video to look at, isn't there? Like in the offensive meeting room?
Yeah, hey, but
I was thinking about the poor coaches have to look at twice as much video. Maybe you guys do too, huh?
They love it, just like we do too.
You do? You don't mind looking at video?
Man, I don't mind. I mean, at the end of the day, it makes us better. If we can correct the things, the small things, at this time of year, it only helps us moving forward.
Hey, Tyrod, what's the last couple of months been like for you here? You signed around the middle of March now, 2+ months in. You weren't able to get here and start doing anything really until right after Easter. But what's it been like since then, since April 6th, as far as meeting rooms on the field? What have you been doing?
I'm just trying to get to know everyone, know your personnel. As far as on the field, just throwing with the guys, trying to build rhythm, and just trying to get on the same page with everyone. In the meeting room, just trying to learn as much as possible. Like I said, we all stepped into a new offense, so it was challenging. It was challenging for all of us, offense as a whole, every position. So that's what my focus has been on. Haven't really been home. I've been home once since I've been up here. That was this past weekend for Memorial Day weekend.
Really? Just home? What? And home is Virginia, right?
Hampton, Virginia.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference between what you got used to in the offense at Baltimore and what Coach Roman's throwing at you?
Which offense in Baltimore?
Yeah, you had a couple, huh?
Yeah, we had three different coordinators in 4 years. Two of them were similar, but the last year under Coach Kubiak, it was a version of the West Coast system, which is similar to the passing game here. They have two different running schemes, but the passing game is a version of the West Coast in both systems, and that's kind of an easy transition for me because I recognize a lot of the concepts. Coach Roman does a couple things differently than Coach Kubiak did, but just welcoming it all in and just buying into it and seeing where we can go with it.
Coach, we had Coach Rex Ryan on our show the other night. He talked about, you know, the limited work that you got in playing in games for Baltimore. But he said he relied a lot on the observations from Cam Cameron, who was one of your coordinators down there in Baltimore. What did you learn from Coach Cameron, and were you close with him? Was he a guy that you think furthered your career along down there?
I was definitely close with Coach Cameron. I was the first NFL coordinator that I had worked with. So he taught me a lot about the game, reading defenses, how to break down film, how to go through progression. So just basically introducing me to it all. I mean, it's different from college. You get that type of coaching, but it's just a little different. The game speeds up. So that was my first real relationship with a coordinator. And like I said, it was a good one. And I appreciate all the kind words that he said. But I think Coach Cameron recognized the talent that I had and was able to just pass them on to a friend of his.
When you got to Baltimore as a rookie, sixth-round pick in 2011, they used you, they had a special package for you, right? A Wildcat type of package. Were you comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I was comfortable. We actually ran it against the Jets a couple times.
Maybe that's what left an impression on Coach Ryan, huh?
Who knows? But, yes, I was comfortable with it. I had a couple plays throughout each week that we were prepared for. I wasn't able to run them all the time, but we definitely practiced them and were ready to use them if we had to.
The next year, 2012, really was the most time you spent on the field, right? You played in seven games, attempted some passes, 17 completions, 179 passing yards. What went on down there in 2012 that got you on the field a little bit more?
I think we had locked in playoff berth already, and I was able to play against Cincinnati Bengals the last game of the year.
Okay,
and Joe played like a series or two, and then I finished the rest of the game and was able to get some good work in and put out some good film. Actually,
the last couple of years in Baltimore, the playing time sort of dwindled for you. What was going on, and how discouraging was that for you? Was it frustrating?
Not necessarily frustrating. It was more so the way how the season went. My third year, we didn't make it to the playoffs, so we actually fought every week trying to make it to the playoffs. So games dictate. And Joe was healthy throughout my time being there. Last year, we had a bunch of close games. We didn't make it to the playoffs, but we had a bunch of close games, and all our games counted. So, and Joe stayed healthy. So, I mean, it's a great thing for him, a great thing for the team. But at the same time, I wasn't able to showcase my talent. But I was able to learn, and I'm ready to take what I learned and move it forward to the opportunity that I have now.
We're in the studio with Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback. It sounds like when you talk about the 4 years in Baltimore, you were almost resigned to the fact that you were going to be a backup. Is that true? I mean, you're playing behind Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Were you okay with the role that you had down there? And is this what brought you to Buffalo now?
The competitive nature in me would never be okay with just being second. I knew my role, but just to lay back and say, yeah, I'm a backup, that's not how I had my mindset towards it. I always pushed myself, always prepared as if I was going to be a starter. And Joe knew that as well. I think that's what kept our room sharp as a whole. Because it's examples across the league. You don't know when the starter may go down and that you have to go in. And you don't want it to be any drop-off from performance from the starter to the backup guy. So I've always had the mindset of prepare like a starter, train like a starter. That way when your time comes, there's no drop-off from play.
4 years of that, now you come here where everything seems wide open. Have you changed your mindset at all? Do you ramp it up a notch knowing that you got a chance maybe to start here?
I just continue to keep doing things that I'm doing. Try to improve my game, work on the fundamentals, take in a new offense, try to learn it as quickly as possible, coach up the guys on the field, and just be me. Like I said, I understand the opportunity, but at the same time, I'm just going to be me throughout it and let my play take care of itself.
Coach Ryan talks about you as a versatile type of player, a guy who can run the football. And I know you would want to be known as an all-round quarterback, but you're okay with running if the quarterback has to run, huh?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to move the change. And that's a good thing that a guy like Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, people don't know him for his athletic ability, but he's very athletic, very, very athletic. And he can move the chains whenever he needs to. Some games you're going to have to run for a couple first downs, and some games you're going to have to throw for a bunch of touchdowns. So you got to be able to do whatever the game dictates, and I'm ready to do that.
Coach Ryan also said you're probably the fastest quarterback in the league. You think you are?
I'll take that race. It's probably between me and my boy Kaepernick.
Really? Have you ever gone?
Well, RG3 is pretty fast,
yeah, it's
too.
Pretty fast, too. People would pay money to see that race.
I bet they would.
Well, it sounds like you're proud of that, though, and the fact that you can use your legs to make plays, as you said, keep the chains moving, huh?
Yes. I mean, God has blessed me with the ability to be able to run. Like I said, I'm a quarterback first, though, and just so happened I can run. So I definitely would use that whenever I have to.
Tell me about Coach David Lee here, the month or two you've had to work with him, what you've learned from him so far.
Just the fundamentals of quarterback. He's very specific in that and details it up very, very well. Coaches us up every day on fundamentals or why we missed this pass or why this pass was good or just the fundamentals of the game. And he's been around football for a long time, and he's coached a bunch of guys, and he's worked with a bunch of guys. So a guy like that, you definitely take the information from him because you know he knows what he's talking about.
We have a quarterback competition here. The coach has said as much. And it's likely to be the topic of conversation until things are settled. It might even go a couple weeks into training camp, according to Coach Ryan. How will you handle that mentally, and how will you approach it on a day-to-day basis, knowing that everybody's keeping an eye on who's going to win this job?
Like I said, just continue to keep doing the things I'm doing. I think throughout this whole thing, no one's going to be more critical of myself than me. So continue to keep grinding away each and every day and showing the coaches what I can do. And just continue to keep leading the teammates and see what plays out. Let the coaches pick it at the end of the year.
Tyrod, you guys put in some long days here at the Bills Complex during these OTAs. But do you take your iPad home and your tablet and look at the practice video and study? Is there more going on?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you do? What are you looking at?
I'm watching film, seeing what I could have did better when I'm not in, watching the other guys and just breaking down what I would have did there or – if I thought that was the right move, just trying to break down film and just trying to get better. That's the main thing right now.
Sounds pretty intense for May. I mean, this isn't August or September right here.
Football, the longer you play, you realize it's a year-long sport.
Yeah. Tyrod, thanks. I'm glad to get you in here after all the questions and comments we get about your play from the listeners. So it's good to have you in here and talk to you face-to-face. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Tyrod Taylor for stopping by. Good talking with him, a guy who a lot of people are interested in as the potential starter for the Bills at the quarterback spot. We're talking about that tonight, getting your thoughts on that. Who do you think it'll be? Who's it going to be, the Bills starting quarterback on September 13th? If you have thoughts on that, phone us up, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter. At John Murphy Show, Mitch tweets in, why not Castle? Rex Ryan sounded like he was impressed with his football management. Mitch also tweets him, just got to shake Andre Reed's hand at the airport. I hope he can make a difference with their yards after the catch. Andre's coming in. We talked to him, Tuesday night, about coming into town for the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Weekend coming up. Coming up this weekend. Monday is the golf tournament. Sunday is the gala downtown. A couple of more tweets on the quarterback question. Never more sports tweets. I don't think we're as bad off at quarterback as people think. Tyrod is a strong prospect. EJ has a great attitude, and Castle is solid. And Jay West tweets, thanks for getting Tyrod Taylor on the show. Get used to saying his name. You'll be doing it a lot this season. Okay, we'll find out. The quarterback question for the Buffalo Bills, who's it going to be? Willing to take your thoughts on that at 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Not who you want it to be. Not asking that question. Everybody's got a favorite. And we're not asking, not who has the most upside. Who do you think it'll be? Basically, we're asking you, who do you think it'll be? The quarterback question in New England is still up in the air. Jimmy Garoppolo splitting reps with Tom Brady at their OTA today. Bill Belichick had nothing new to say on his plans at quarterback, where Garoppolo is getting set to start the season if Brady's four-game suspension is upheld. Garoppolo talked to the media afterwards today and talked about Brady's suspension and the possibility that he may have to start in the first couple of weeks.
I'm just going out to practice every day, trying to improve, trying to get my teammates better, me better, and we'll go from there.
But do you have to have that mindset considering that he is facing a four-game suspension and you're the next in line?
I just have the mindset that I'm trying to get better. I mean, that's all you can control at the end of the day.
Obviously, you had to. Jimmy, to get yourself better?
I'm out in California throwing. Got to have some nice weather out there. That was nice, so a little change-up, but... You know, it's nice to be back out here, miss the guys, miss the team and everything.
How closely did you follow everything, Jimmy, in the offseason, knowing that it would have a direct impact possibly on how you would have to prepare for the season?
No different than I usually would. Just went about my business, tried to get prepared for this season, got in the playbook a lot, got out there with some of the guys, threw it around. So, it was a good offseason.
Jimmy Garoppolo may have to start. Brady's appeal of his four-game suspension is going to be held June 23rd, which is just a little bit less than a month away, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. If necessary, the hearing could continue on June 25th. Brandon Spikes back in camp with the New England Patriots. The prodigal son, after his 1 year in Buffalo, Brandon Spikes returned to the Patriots on a one-year deal that could be worth up to $2 million. When he left a year ago to come to the Bills, he had some interesting comments about Patriots coach Bill Belichick. And today, Brandon Spikes was asked about making up with Bill Belichick.
Nothing's changed. You know, I was here for 4 years. I was a productive player, you know, efficient. And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, they got that big ring. And, you know, we're moving on from that. But, you know, they're going to – some of the guys kind of throwing it in my face. It is what it is. It's all fun and games. But, you know, I'm letting them know I'm here to work and, you know, make this ball club. It's just that simple. I want to get better each and every day and, you know, control what I can control.
As you guys are all friends, like you just said, and they get the big ring, and when you walk in and a friendly banter of, well, look what you missed.
Right.
It's got to be one of those things that kind of...
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the reasons that drives me. That's going to help me get up earlier in the morning and come in and work. And, you know, it just gives me that chip, that extra, you know, that extra edge I need to, you know, to get better each and every day. And, you know, I want to strive and to get better to give me one of those things so I can show my kids one day, hey, look what your father got. So,
how would you describe your departure from the ring?
I don't really want to talk about that. You know, we can clearly see that me and the hoodie kissed and made up. I'm here. That's in the past, and, you know, I'm moving on. So that's dead.
Me and the hoodie kissed and made up. Brandon Spikes. Love that guy, and best of luck to him with the New England Patriots. All right, an hour to go. We've got coming up next hour, Bucky Brooks, former Bills wide receiver, now an NFL analyst for NFL.com. He says the Bills have the second most talented roster in the NFL. We'll talk with him about that. And Bills president, Russ Brandon, joins us at the bottom of next hour. Plus your phone calls, 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now. Woo! Let's go. Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Halftime is over. We've got one more half to go. One more hour to go on the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Friday night in Orchard Park, New York. We're here next week, Monday through Friday, with five shows. Another week of organized team activity next week for the Buffalo Bills. Training camp not that far away. We were not on the air last night because of the hockey news. But So we missed the formal announcement. We'll talk with Russ Brandon about it at 8:30 tonight, the Bills president. He was at St. John Fisher College yesterday with the Bills coaching staff looking over the facilities. The Bills announced their training camp schedule yesterday, and it all opens up on Friday, July 31st. Most of the practices, daytime practices, are 10 a.m. to 12 noon. I don't know how that fits into your schedule. I think it's pretty good for Buffalo area residents. You know, hop in the car at 8:30 and go down and watch practice. Practice ends at noon. Get your autographs. Get in the car. Boom. Day over. There are five night practices for the Bills this year. And the first one is August 3rd. That is a Monday night. The night practices go 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Five public night practices at the Connors and Ferris training camp. The next night practice is Saturday, August 8th, 7 p.m., and then it's Wednesday, August 12th, 6 p.m., and then Monday and Tuesday, 6 p.m. on August 18th, and then finally Sunday, August 23rd, 6 p.m. The final practice at training camp, 10 a.m. on Tuesday, August 25th. So you're looking at about a 3.5-week span of training camp from Friday, July 31st to Tuesday, August 25th. Practice times subject to change. The Bills still don't have details out yet on ticket details, merchandise, 10 hours, fan experience activities, parking, etc., but that'll be released at a later date. But you can make your plans now for the training camp schedule. Now, the Cleveland Browns have talked about this, and it's an open secret. The Browns are coming to St. John Fisher College for a couple of practices with the Bills on the week leading up to the game against the Browns, and that'll be Monday, August 17th, a 10 a.m. practice, and Tuesday, August 18th, a 6 p.m. practice. And then the Bills and the Browns, I don't know if they'll walk through on Wednesday and then head to Cleveland for the Thursday night preseason game on, what would that be, August 20th. But that'll be a highlight of the camp when the Bills host the Cleveland Browns at St. John Fisher College. The Browns did that, I want to say, back in 2004, I believe. right? Would that be right? Yeah, 2004, the Browns came down to Rochester and had a couple of practices. So those are some of the highlights of the Buffalo Bills, Connors and Ferris training camp, St. John Fisher College, 16th season at St. John Fisher College, the beautiful bucolic campus in the suburbs of Rochester, Pittsford, New York, regarded by many as the greatest training camp experience in the NFL. That's what the national guys say. Jay, you spent time there. You were there this last year. How many national guys come in and say, this is my favorite camp? They all
hands
do.
Down.
Peter
I don't
King,
know if they're just
Don
paying
Banks,
us compliments, but
they,
all of them.
I don't know what it is. Is it the cool temperatures that we get up here in the summer? Is it, I mean, Fisher looks great. Everything's compact. You're not spread out all over the place. You can see if you're – I don't think there's a better fan experience at training camp than what the Bills have. I mean, the Packers have a good deal. They have that little bicycle thing going on outside Lambeau. But I've been to the Packers camp. It's hard to get a spot to see anything. That's not the case at Fisher.
I was just going to ask. I mean, I grew up going to Fredonia.
Yeah.
I've worked here at St. John Fisher. I haven't been anywhere else. Last year we experienced Latrobe and the Steelers set up there, and that wasn't anything.
It wasn't
I was
better
ready to go home. No, it was not better. So it's great. It's in Rochester, which allows those outside of the area to get down and actually see the players, and then the experience at training camp in itself, you don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
The accessibility to the players, you get your autographs. I mean, it's a great setup, a great way to watch it. I mean, we've sat and actually called practices up in the bleachers right there. And, I mean, it's an event every day.
And you talk about fan access. They have autographs virtually every day. There's somebody signing autographs. There's the fan experience. I mean, the inflatables and games that they have set off to the side there. Food tents, et cetera. I mean, you make a whole day out of it, really, for a family. And, oh, by the way, it's free. It's a free day.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, it's really good. Can you tell we're getting excited about camp? It's coming up on July 31st. We'll probably get there a day or two early to set up shop. The players will probably be there a day or two early. But July 31st, Friday, is the first training camp practice, bright and early, 10 in the morning. Matt Sims should be at that training camp with the Bills. They claimed him off waivers today. Former New York Jet. Yes, he is Phil Sims' son. He is Chris Sims' brother. Chris has been a guest on the show, former NFL quarterback. Matt Sims played his college football at the University of Tennessee. He was undrafted and went to the New York Jets and spent the last two-plus years with the New York Jets. Four career appearances, 19 of 39, 195 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Played here at Ralph Wilson Stadium against the Bills a couple of seasons ago. Mop-up duty in a 37-14 loss to the Bills. Matt Sims claimed off waivers today, added to the roster, 6'3", 210-pounder from the University of Tennessee. To make room, the Bills said goodbye to quarterback Jeff Toole today, the Washington State product, who was on the practice squad all of last year, played two games in 2013, got the start against Kansas City in 2013. You remember the circumstances. He was tentatively named the starting quarterback for week one of the 2013 season. And then E.J. Manuel was healthy enough to return to play, and Toole was his backup. And Toole played against the Cleveland Browns at that Monday night game after E.J. got hurt. And then Toole started the game against Kansas City later on that season, 2013, with the memorable interception going back the other way, his first career start, a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. So Matt Toole, his two-year tenure with the Bills ends. Two games played, one game started. Matt Toole cut to make room for Jeff Toole. I keep calling him Matt Toole. Jeff Toole cut to make room for Matt Sims, and we wish him well. The quarterback battle continues in earnest here. Another day of OTAs on the grass practice field outside the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse today. Talked a lot about it tonight, and you are welcome to join us. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter. Put the question out there, who's it going to be on September 13th? Who's going to be the starter? Who's going to win this quarterback competition? Give us a call. Let us know what you think, or do it via Twitter. Ricky tweets in, E.J. Manuel. What about E.J. Manuel? He was asked the other day after an OTA session how he limits his frustrations, knowing that typically in this stage of practice, the defense is a little bit ahead of the offense.
I think being that I'm a little older now,
you know, I don't get as frustrated if something doesn't go right how we want it to. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is practice. It's our second day into OTAs. I think we've done well as an offense, but, you know, I think you have to understand that it is a process. You know, we're putting in new plays every day, and obviously the defense is doing new things over there. And we're not game planning those guys. So, you know, sometimes they might have our number, but other times we'll have theirs. So it doesn't really matter.
Does it fire you up to know that there are people who think you could wind up number three, that's conceivable?
It doesn't fire me up. I think, you know, if I just continue to focus on what I need to do to continue to get better, I think that's what just matters for me.
EJ Manuel, yeah, he could be number three. He could be the starter. He might not be in the roster. There was that strange flurry of activity last week about the Bills might release EJ Manuel. Well, yeah, he and about 25 other guys on the roster could get released if they don't produce. That was a strange interlude last week. Matt Castle, candidate for the starting quarterback job as well. You heard Tyrod Taylor last hour. Matt Castle talked the other day after the OTA session about mastering this new offensive scheme with the Buffalo Bills.
There's always that element of everything being new, and also there's a learning curve for everybody. And I think even, like you said, for myself being 11-year vet now, there's still that learning curve of trying to understand how they want to read something, because it could be completely different from how you've read the same concept in the past. Also, familiarizing yourself with the terminology and being able to get in and out of the huddle, it's very important to be able to have good tempo in and out of the huddle so those guys can understand what you're saying and get people lined up.
Matt Castle talking about getting used to this new Buffalo offense. Matt Castle with that 10-year experience edge on his competition for the quarterback spot. And he was asked after the workout the other day, why would he not be the odds-on favorite to win the starting job here?
Everybody's going to have an opinion. I've got to go out and earn it, and I've got to go out and prove to the coaches and everybody else that, you know, I deserve the opportunity to play. And so that's what it always comes down to. You know, in this league, nothing's given to you, and I know that better than anybody else. And so it's one day at a time right now. It's learning the offense and then going out and performing.
Matt Castle, quarterback Matt Castle, as he competes for that starting quarterback job with the Buffalo Bills. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive tonight. We're going to be joined in studio by Russ Brandon, the Bills president, at the bottom of the hour talking about training camp. So stick around for that. We hope to connect with Bucky Brooks, former Bills draft pick, who does work now with NFL Media and NFL.com as a football analyst. Bucky Brooks played for 5 different teams in his NFL career, 5 different seasons: the Bills, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Kansas City, Oakland, and then went to the Seahawks Pro Personnel Department as a regional scout, and also was a scout for the Carolina Panthers for a few years, and then got into the media business. He's written a couple of interesting things over the last few weeks. One of them, ranking the scariest position groups in the NFL, the top 10. He's got the Buffalo Bills defensive line, the second, in his words, scariest position group in the NFL. And by scariest, he means, I'll let him describe it. He says, when coaches sit down and talk about the next game, the conversation tries to identify the biggest threats on the opponent roster. And he says the Buffalo Bills defensive line is the second scariest position group in the league, only behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. We all know how good the Bills defensive line is with all that Pro Bowl talent up there. And Bucky Brooks happens to think that going back to a similar scheme to what they ran a couple of years ago when they led the AFC in sacks is going to benefit that defensive line a great deal. Bucky Brooks also wrote about, just the other day, the most talented teams in the NFL. And he leaves, I got to ask him about this, I hope we make contact with him, because he leaves quarterback right off the table for whatever reason. He says he does not evaluate the quarterbacks. But he's got the Buffalo Bills, the second most talented team in the NFL, behind only the NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. He identifies 8 blue chip players on the Bills roster. And by blue chip players, they are, in his mind, difference makers, Pro Bowl caliber talents who do not play at the quarterback spot. 8 blue chip players on the Bills roster. This is Bucky Brooks, former scout. He's got these the following blue chip players: Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, Charles Clay, tight end, he's got as a blue chipper. That's 4. Number 5, Jerome Felton, the fullback who they acquired from Minnesota. He's got wide receiver kick return specialist Percy Harvin, one of the Bills' blue chippers. He's got running back LeSean McCoy as a blue chipper and cornerback Stephon Gilmore. He's got 2 players on the rise on this Bills roster: wide receiver Sammy Watkins and safety Aaron Williams. He says the Bills have the second most talent of anybody in the National Football League, behind only the NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. How does that translate to wins? We want to know that. He's got the Jets, the New York Jets, with the 4th most talent in the National Football League. So we're going to get to the bottom of these issues that he has brought up. Bucky Brooks, former Bills draft pick in the 1994 draft. He was a second rounder, played for the Bills in Jacksonville, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Oakland, then got into scouting with Seattle and Carolina. And now he's with NFL.com. And Bucky Brooks joins us live right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Bucky, thanks for being with us this Friday night. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Great. It's great to hear your voice again. We talked to you down at the Combine way back in February. Seems like a long time since then. And as you do your work and you look at these rosters, I guess I was a bit surprised to see that you have ranked the NFL's most talented teams, and you've got the Buffalo Bills with the second most talented roster in the NFL. Bucky, tell us about that process.
Yeah, so we did a project at NFL.com where we ranked the talented rosters, like who has the most talented roster in the league, if you took out the quarterback. Going back to my days of scouting, we always believed that if you build a team with 8 to 10 blue-chip prospects, meaning guys that kind of rate among the top 10 of their position, guys who are outstanding difference-makers, Pro Bowl-caliber players, you should have an opportunity to compete for a championship. And so as I went up and down the roster and looked at the depth charts and watched some tape and looked at teams, you know, as I was stacking them up and looking at the Buffalo Bills, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of players that are entering the prime of their career playing at a high level. And so because of that, when I measured them against some of the other teams, I felt like behind Seattle, I don't know if there's another more talented team in the National Football League when you consider Buffalo in comparison to those other teams throwing out the quarterback.
Why do you throw out the quarterback, Bucky?
Well, we're throwing out the quarterback because a lot of times it's so easy to say that, like, teams with a franchise quarterback are going to be in the Final Four. Teams that have a franchise-caliber guy are going to be there. So we wanted to look at it without the quarterback being able to mask some of the flaws. For instance, when I look at the New England Patriots, the New England Patriots are a really good team, but Tom Brady pushes them over the top. I think when you look at some of the other teams that have outstanding quarterbacks, the quarterback is able to make up for some of the deficiencies that you may have on your roster because they play at such a high level that those flaws and inefficiencies are never exposed. However, when you look at a team and you look at a team without the quarterback being there, you truly see where their talent lies, how that team could win. It takes you playing a particular style, but you certainly can win without a quarterback being a franchise guy or a guy that is one of the elite 4-5 quarterbacks in the National Football League.
In fact, in your post on NFL.com, Bucky, you mentioned your own experience about 10 years ago as a scout with Carolina, a team that managed to win a good deal without a franchise-caliber quarterback, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that's where the league is kind of going because you understand that there is a lack of elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Most of the guys that we talk about being elite are the tail end of the career. So what I'm finding when I talk to general managers are they're trying to build teams that are not necessarily quarterback-centric, meaning that if you do have a franchise quarterback and he gets hurt, do we have a roster or supporting the cast around him that will still allow the team to flourish and thrive? And so when I look at it and I look at the approach that some of the teams are taking, I think that's why you're seeing some of those teams that are listed are not teams that necessarily have a franchise quarterback in place, but they still are capable of putting together not only winning seasons and postseason appearances, but they could make a run at the title if they play a particular style, which is complementary football, defense, running game, having a supporting cast that can make plays on the perimeter at times, but it's not so much about having a quarterback that can wing it 40 times and allowing that quarterback to be the ultimate difference maker on your squad.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Bucky Brooks, former Bills wide receiver who went on to be a scout in the NFL and is now a NFL media analyst for NFL.com. And he's written about the most talented teams in the NFL. You identify 8 blue chippers for the Buffalo Bills. I just had somebody tweet in. I went through the list of the 8, Bucky. Somebody tweeted in and wondered why Jerry Hughes was not ranked as a blue chipper. What do you think of Jerry Hughes?
I mean, I think Jerry Hughes has been really, really good for what the Buffalo Bills have been able to do. I think if you go all the way back, you look at his time in Indianapolis where he didn't play up to his draft status, but he has been outstanding in Buffalo. I think part of his success in Buffalo has been due to the fact that he played opposite Mario Williams and alongside Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams. I don't know if we took Jerry out of that equation and put him in another situation if he would be a double-digit sack guy. So because of that, he kind of reminds me a little bit of what we had in Carolina with Mike Rucker. Mike Rucker ended up being a multiple Pro Bowl player, but because he played opposite Julius Peppers, he commanded only one-on-one attention. He could win in one-on-one, but he's not necessarily the guy that can command a double team or a guy that can necessarily anchor your pass rush. if you only had him on that line and didn't have another established pass rusher on that defensive line.
That makes sense. Hey, Bucky, I'm glad to see that you've got Stephon Gilmore ranked among your blue-chip players on the Bills roster. He was banged up with injuries a couple of years ago, but I think Stephon is like a hidden gem. I don't know that the rest of the NFL knows a lot about Stephon Gilmore, but you've identified him as really a solid cornerback in this league, huh?
Yeah, talking to coaches, defense coaches around the league, and particularly the coaching staff up there, they feel like he can be an outstanding player. He's a guy on par with some of the top corners in the league. Hasn't done it consistently. He's coming off a season where he had face some injuries, but when you look at the talent, you look at when he's played, when he's been on and healthy, he's certainly a guy that could be a top cornerback in the league. And so you add him to the mix, you have some intriguing pieces in the back end, and Aaron Williams, you have that front line that we talked about, that defensive line that I think is one of the best in the league. You certainly have enough on defense to allow Stephon Gilmore to be a guy that can suffocate the number one receiver of the opponent and really lock them down and make it really hard and difficult for them to make plays on set.
Bucky Brooks from NFL.com on the line with us. He's ranked the NFL's most talented teams. The Bills ranked number two. The New York Jets ranked number four. I'm surprised you like the Jets personnel that much, Bucky. Tell me about it.
You know, we look at their personnel. The Jets have a couple of different areas that are very, very good. When I look at the Jets, their D-line is on par with anyone in the league. You talk about Mo Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson being two dominant Pro Bowl caliber players. In the back end, I think probably they have the best secondary in the league when you throw in Antonio Cromartie, Darrell Revis, you bring in Buster Screen coming over. They can lock down and play man-to-man on any team, any opposition. They can mix and match and do a bunch of different things. Offensively, I think they made significant upgrades to the way their passing game is constructed. Brandon Marshall comes over as the number one receiver. You draft a guy, Devin Smith, that can be your home run hitter. And Eric Decker has proven that he can be a 1,000-yard receiver in this league when playing opposite another talented guy. When you throw all the pieces of the puzzle into the mix, with Nick Mangold as an anchor on that offensive line, they certainly are a team that is as talented as any. And if they play a certain style, meaning they allow their defense to lead the way, they are a team that could be one of the last teams standing when we get into the tournament.
Hey, Bucky, also a recent post you had and another ranking, the top 10 position groups, the top 10 scariest position groups in the NFL. You've got the Bills' defensive line ranked number two. And when I read into this, I like the fact that you point out that as good as they were last year, the return of a Rex Ryan-style defense that they had under Mike Patton a couple of years ago might make them even a little bit better this year, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that you've seen in the last few years with the Buffalo Bills, their defensive line, they're able to play a variety of styles. Jim Schwartz was a guy that was more comfortable really just allowing those four guys to hunt up front. Consequently, they were able to really amass a lot of sacks and play coverage on the back end. The year before, under Mike Patton, they did a little more of an attacking style, came after people, did some pressures, some simulated blitzes, and really created confusion at the line of scrimmage. But when I looked at them, they still had 56 and 57 sacks, respectively, playing those two different styles. You bring Rex Ryan back, a guy who really loves to dial it up, a guy who knows the system better than Mike Patton. I think you're talking about a team that can probably collect 60-plus sacks, really create a lot of havoc on defense. And when you throw in the back end, those young, dynamic defensive backs that they have, including their second-round pick, Ronald Darby, I think the Buffalo Bills can really throw a lot at people, and I think that defensive line is where it sets. It's the foundation of the house, which is why I think they have an opportunity to be very, very good.
Hey, Bucky, one more thing I want to ask you about, and this is a post you wrote a couple of weeks ago about the Patriots, about life without Tom Brady, and it reads like you dipped into your scouting analysis a couple of years ago on Jimmy Garoppolo coming out of Eastern Illinois. Chances are the Bills are probably going to see Garoppolo in week two here at Ralph Wilson Stadium. What should they expect? What do you think? What kind of a quarterback do you think Jimmy Garoppolo will be in his first year getting a few starts here?
Intriguing young quarterback prospect, a guy that has obviously a lot of talent. He played primarily in a spread system at Eastern Illinois. But in talking to Dino Babers, who coached him at Eastern Illinois, he said he's different than the other spread quarterbacks entering the league. He spent 50% of his time coming up under center, so he understands how to play from under center. He also understands pro concepts. He's a guy that is a quick rhythm thrower, a guy who's very, very accurate. The thing that will be interesting is seeing him in the last game of the season, last year, the season finale, against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo is very familiar with him, threw some things at him, confused him. He only completed 50% of his passes in that game. I think he can be good, but it's going to be important for the New England Patriots to find a way to support him. They have to be able to run the ball. They have to have the playmakers on the outside make plays. More importantly, I think they're going to have to play complementary football, so their defense is going to carry the water. But I don't know if defensively they're as good as they were a year ago, which is why they may not win at the level that they're accustomed to with Jimmy Garoppolo under center.
Hey, Bucky, we appreciate this. Thank you very much. It's always enlightening to talk with you, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes out tonight to discuss these recent posts. It's good reading and good talking with you about it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, Bucky Brooks, former Bills draft pick, second-rounder, wide receiver, played five different teams in the NFL in five different seasons. Now he's an NFL media analyst. You can follow Bucky Brooks on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks. And on NFL Network, they've got the top 100 players of 2015 airing Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock on the NFL Network. They count down the top players in the league as voted on by players themselves. The aforementioned Jerry Hughes, ranked in the 60s, I believe 63rd in the rankings that came out today. Thanks to Bucky Brooks for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. The Bills announced their training camp schedule yesterday, and we're going to sit down and talk with team president Russ Brandon about that and a couple of other issues, including season tickets. When we return, stick around. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for this Friday night. And joining us in studio for the first time in a long time, the president of the Buffalo Bills, Russ Brandon. Russ, thank you. You've been a stranger. You got to stop by here more often.
Good to see you, Murph.
It's good to see you. Good to have you with us. You are just back from a site tour of a training camp at St. John Fisher College. The training camp dates came out yesterday. You're a Fisher guy. You're a Fisher alum. How did the place look? I'm looking forward to getting back there in a couple of weeks.
Looks fantastic. Had a full tour yesterday with Coach Ryan and the staff. You know, many new staff members, so it was their first look at Fisher. They walked away very impressed, as you would expect. The setup there is fantastic. Fields look great, and before you know it, we'll be there. So I know you look forward to it. I look forward to it, and I know our fans in Rochester really embrace camp, and we have a lot of people that come down the thruway as well.
We're about 2 months away from the first on-field session there, Friday, July 31st. The partnership with Fisher, now you're going into your 16th year at St. John Fisher College. It's really worked out well for both entities, hasn't it?
I'll tell you, Murph, it's one of the rare things that it actually has turned out a little bit better than I think we ever dreamt it would. Mm-hmm. The setup from a football perspective is ideal. The fan base, you know, the support that we get from our fans there is unbelievable. And I can't say enough about the leadership there. Don Bain, the president, has been there for about 10 years, took over for Catherine Keogh, the late Catherine Keogh, who was really the individual who spearheaded the Bills coming over to Fisher. And Don's retiring in June. And just a fantastic guy. Can't say enough good things about what he's done, not only for our training camp, but for the college and the Rochester community. And Jerry Rooney is going to take over as a new president, and he's been there for many years and should be a seamless transition.
It's your alma mater. I know you keep a close eye on what goes on at Fisher. As much as the Bills benefit, the college gets a lot of mostly exposure, I think, national exposure, right?
No question. I mean, you look last year when we opened camp early, and ESPN's there for a few days, all the national exposure, regional exposure, and, you know, Fisher, knock on wood, has done fantastic over the last 15 years as far as a school and an institution, and it seems to be in parallel with as long as we've been there. So it's a wonderful school from an education standpoint. They have very good Division III sports and just a great place to go to school.
Many NFL teams elect to stay on site in their own training headquarters for training camp. Why does Fisher work for the Buffalo Bills, Russ?
A couple of reasons. I think number one, for our organization and for our franchise, we need to be regional. And Rochester has always been a very good supporter, but since we've been to camp there, you know, it's no longer the Buffalo Bills in the region. It's our Bills when you talk about Rochester, and really the same thing what we were able to achieve in Southern Ontario. So, you know, for us, you know, the way the setup is there, getting off site, all the coaches who've been here have really liked the working arrangement we have at Fisher. So from that standpoint, you know, football drives the train, and you know, like I said, all the coaches have been very pleased, and Coach Ryan left there yesterday with a big smile on his face.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Coach Ryan, of course, with the Jets, had the camp at Cortland, and then I think they pulled out last year, right? They weren't at Cortland. And he's on board, right, with going off-site? He sees benefits to going off-site?
Completely on board. And, you know, I think they had an abbreviated situation at Cortland. you know, whereas, you know, we pack up and we go there for a month at Fisher. And, yeah, he's completely on board. You know, he will utilize both of the grass fields, I think, on a more consistent basis, you know, based on the walkthrough yesterday. So our fans will be able – will have the opportunity to see – you know, full team work on both the fields second, at one time.
The second field tucked behind
the
gym
new
there.
Field that came in about 3 years ago. Yeah. So, and then obviously for the night practices, we'll be on the turf. And I think it'll be one of our best camps yet.
Night practices are always big, very popular. I mean, the place sells out. It's always a great scene down there when you have a night practice.
Yeah, I think we have 5 night practices this year. And I think we're close to announcing maybe a little practice partnership with another team. And that should be fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the Browns, I guess, which has not been formally announced yet. But that adds – the Browns are talked about it. That adds a lot, I think, to some of the cachet of training camp.
No question. I think Coach Pettine, you know, having a familiar background with Fisher, and we talked to him during the process, and, you know, Jim O'Neill and Anthony Weaver and so many of the coaches that were here, you know, it's real easy for them to – they understand the camp. They understand, you know, how great Fisher is and – you know, to have them there, you know, once we finalize it, should be a lot of fun.
Russ, and I know things have changed a lot from last year, last training camp. Last year's training camp, this year's training camp, let me put it this way, seems much more manageable. Last year, because of the Hall of Fame game, it was long. There was the trip to Pittsburgh. The complex here wasn't quite finished. This year seems much more compact and manageable, quite frankly, don't you think? Last year was an ordeal, a little bit of an ordeal, I think.
Yeah, and on top of that, trying to sell the franchise. So, I know personally from my perspective, you know, it's obviously more – it's back to more of the basic elements of what you do in this business. But last year, as you mentioned, between Pittsburgh and the Hall of Fame game and, you know, really from my point of view, you know, going through the – that was right in the heart of the sales process. Yep. And, you know, as I say often, Murph, that, you know, we have that the collective anvil that we have been on our shoulders for so many years is now in the bottom of Lake Erie. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So – that's the greatest gift of all.
The anvil you talk about, the sale of the team, the future of the Bills, it's all gone. And as a longtime Buffalonian now, I'm sure you feel, we talk about this on the show all along, especially when you read about what's going on in Los Angeles with, you know, the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders, to not even entertain the notion that the Bills are in that conversation, I still have a hard time believing that that's true. Here it is, a year later.
It's a year later, and, you know, knowing that, you know, 18 years ago when we came on board to try to keep this franchise viable from a business perspective was really our number one impetus. And to be able to achieve that and have the lease that sometimes falls by the wayside that was done in the end of December of that year, to have that in place and then have that as the foundation of going into the sales process and then have it go as well as it did, obviously, with the great ownership of the Pegulas. We're a very blessed community.
Russ Brandon, our guest, the Bills president, as we could talk about training camp, and you mentioned the viability of the franchise. The franchise is approaching near record levels of season ticket sales, correct?
We're having a very good year, Murph. You know, we're closing in on our all-time record, and that's a great tribute, obviously, to our fans and the support and the great work by our ticket office and, you know, Chris Cleary and Mike Chahosky and the entire group there who worked tirelessly to get that done. So we're closing in on it. Hopefully we'll have some good news next week. And obviously that puts, you know, our individual game sales and our group sales in a whole different level as well. So, you know, the most important thing is that when we line up here for all 8 home games and our preseason games, that we have a full house. And I have a pretty good feeling, Murph, this place will be rocking.
You know, it says a lot about the fan base, doesn't it, that's been frustrated for a decade and a half, that they respond to free agent moves, to coaching changes, to the general optimism surrounding this franchise.
There's no question. And I also think the stability.
Yeah.
You know, I think that really, to me, is the number one factor. You know, we had very good season ticket sales last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one factor when you do all the research is direction of the franchise. And I think people felt pretty good about where we were heading last year. And then with some of the free agent moves with Coach Ryan and then obviously the Pegulas. I mean, I think that's, to me, that's number one, you know, to know that this franchise is on solid footing for generations to come. and you know, feel good about where our franchise is. So, you know, it is, we talk about all the time, Murph, you know this, you know, it's not about winning press conferences in March or, you know, those moves, but it's about preparing in March for, you know, training camp and then September. And I think there's going to be a lot of fun at the stadium this year.
Rush, you mentioned the Pegulas today and the final day of this week's OTAs. Both Terry and Kim were out there with their dog, as a matter of fact. It's great to have the Pegulas around, isn't it? Yeah, and it's great to see that kind of interest.
They're fantastic. And like I said earlier, we're blessed in our community, you know, not only obviously with the Bills, but obviously with the Sabres. And they had a big week with, you know, hiring a new coach over there with the Sabres, and, you know, what Harbor Center's meant to our community, and and seeing the vibrancy in downtown and really throughout our region, they're a big part of that.
You got a chance, as I did, to watch the final OTA session of the week today in the beautiful sunshine of Orchard Park. You can sense the optimism, and it's good to see. I think it's really good to see this new coaching staff interact with the players that have been assembled here.
Yeah, the energy is a high level. So, again, you know, the watching guys fly around and the enthusiasm outside today, and obviously the warm weather, and you know, it's just a great day to be outside and see how excited those guys are to be on the field. And you know, it's like you say all the time, when you come to work and you're happy and excited to go, and you know, have a full crew out there, you know, of our guys that are here. You know, we all know it's voluntary, but you know, these guys are out here and they're working hard, and I think they also have a sense that they could do something pretty special. And it's going to be fun to watch.
It wasn't a big splashy draft a couple of months ago for the Bills, but watching the workout today, when I see the kind of attention that Donnie Henderson pays to Ronald Darby or see Aaron Cromer on John Miller, I mean, those are guys who are going to, they're going to have a role to play, if not this year, in the future. And in Miller's case, maybe right away. Huh?
I one of my favorite things to do is watch Donnie Henderson coach.
Yeah, me too.
Boy, he's a great coach, and I loved to watch his interaction with his players. And I joke that our draft was a John Butler draft. It was a scout's draft.
Yeah,
and obviously that's what, you know, Doug Whaley is a scout at heart, and Jim Monas and Kelvin Fisher. You know, it was a workman's like draft when it came to what this year was, and not having a first round pick, but you know, those guys go at it and expect to have contributions from every guy they draft, and we'll see how that plays out.
The roster overall, Russ, you got to be pretty happy with how it's been assembled by Doug, and it's not just this offseason, but it's been a couple-year process here.
Yeah, no question. You know, it actually started back with Buddy and Doug, and to see the evolution of it. Obviously, Buddy deserves a lot of credit for that, and you know, Jimmy Overdorf and I, you know, spend a lot of trying to, you know, manage the finance part of it, and Jimmy does an outstanding job of that too. So it's nice to see it all come together, and you know, we still have a lot of work to do. You know, when it comes to managing the roster, is a 365-day process. There's a lot that goes into it with the salary cap, so that will be something that, you know, we're always trying to look, you know, out years.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah.
So but, you know, Doug's done and his staff have done a really nice job in putting everything together.
Russ, thanks for this. We should talk more often. I know we'll want to talk when we get down to training camp.
I always love seeing you, Murph.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yes, we will. St. John Fisher.
That's right. Thanks, Russ Brandon, Bills president, joining us in studio, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in the show. We'll be back on the air on Monday night, 7 to 9. Another day of OTAs on the schedule for the Buffalo Bills on Monday. Coming up this weekend, Sunday night, the Celebrity Gala, and then Monday, the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Tournament out at Terry Hills in Batavia. And we'll talk to some folks out there, maybe get a couple of guests on the show from the Jim Kelly annual golf tournament. Bill Polian's coming to town. Marv Levy's coming to town. A bunch of Jim's former teammates as well. So look for that on Monday night. Here at One Bills Drive today, the first week of organized team activities wrapped up. The Bills on the field, the sun-splashed field outside the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse with Jim Kelly in attendance. The Pegulas were in attendance. Their dog Sydney was watching the practice today. After practice, the Bills announced that they've been awarded a claim. They made a waiver claim on a quarterback, and they have been awarded quarterback Matt Sims from the New York Jets, just released by the New York Jets the other day. Matt Sims is now a Buffalo Bill, added to the Bills roster. And Sims had some interesting things to say. Let me see if I can find this. He had some interesting things to say about – first of all, he asked for his release yesterday, and the Jets granted it to him. After the Jets drafted Bryce Petty, Matt Sims apparently thought that the writing was on the wall as far as his chances in New York, and that he would not get a chance to be the quarterback there. He spoke to a New York Jets media outlet, the Bergen Record, via telephone today. He said he's happy to be moving on to a place where he's wanted and he feels he can grow. He admits it was a risk to ask the Jets to cut him loose, which they did. He said by asking to be let go now, he'd have a better chance to find a job before the mandatory minicamps next month. As far as coming to Buffalo, Matt Sims said, I'm happy to be reunited with Rex Ryan. He said Ryan and David Lee, the Bills quarterbacks coach, who worked with him in New York, quote, know my personality. They know the type of guy I am. And David Lee, when he was with the Jets last August, praised the way Matt Sims worked. He said, this is last August. David Lee said, quote, Matt Sims has improved as much as any guy I think I have ever remember coaching. So Matt Sims coming to Buffalo, the quarterback, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with him next week. The Bills released Jeff Toole to make room for Matt Sims. What have we learned in tonight's show? Well, we talked to another quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, who is very popular among certain segments of the fan. He's in the mix at the quarterback spot for the Buffalo Bills. Tyrod Taylor, a guest on our show earlier tonight, talked about playing the backup role for the Baltimore Ravens and wanting to be a starter here in Buffalo.
The competitive nature in me would never be okay with just being second. I knew my role, but just to lay back and say, yeah, I'm a backup, that's not how I had my mindset towards it. Always pushed myself, always prepared as if I was going to be a starter. And Joe knew that as well. I think that's what kept our room sharp as a whole. Because it's examples across the league. You don't know when the starter may go down and that you have to go in. And you don't want it to be any drop-off from performance from the starter to the backup guy. So I've always had the mindset of prepare like a starter, train like a starter. That way, when your time comes, there's no drop-off from play.
Tyrod Taylor talked about his chance to start here with the Buffalo Bills in this three-way competition between Taylor, E.J. Manuel, and Matt Cassel, and now Matt Sims added to the roster as well as the fourth quarterback. The Bills with another week of OTAs next week, two more weeks of organized team activity, then the mandatory veteran minicamp that wraps up around June 18th, 19th, and then that's it until training camp, which starts on Friday, July 31st. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and hope you enjoyed the show. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. TJ Luckman is our engineer tonight. Jay Harris, our producer, and the Bills Director of Broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We'll see you Monday night at 7 with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.